Good morning. The Camerons have designed a program for children ages 3 to 8, and so if there are any children here today, ages 3 to 8, who would like to participate in Children's Bible Hour, you can be dismissed at this time and head up to the auditorium upstairs, and you can participate in that program. I hope you still have your Bibles open to the scripture that was read this morning. Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. This passage was written to the post-exilic community. The Israelites who left Babylonian captivity, and they've returned to the promised land. They're living in the land of Israel. This is the promised land, but life is not rosy in the promised land. Life is not just peaches and cream. What we see going on here in verse 6 is that these people are suffering. These people are suffering, and life is hard. They plant and they cultivate the earth, but they harvest very little. They have something to eat, but not enough to really make them full. They have a coat to put on, but no matter what coat they put on, they find themselves still cold. They can't fully satisfy their needs. They're alive, but they're just barely surviving. Imagine this. The people of God are barely surviving in the promised land. And we have in verse 5, and we have in verse 7, a warning that God gives to his people. God says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Look at what's going on in your life. Look at the pitiful existence you have right now in the promised land. Consider your ways. Why are you living the way you are? Why are you struggling to eke out an existence in the promised land, which the Bible describes as a land flowing with milk and honey? This is a rich land. This is a blessed land. But it's not rich and it's not blessed for the post-exilic community. Consider your ways and understand why you're living the way you're living. The answer is given in this text. The people have neglected the house of the Lord. They say in verse 2, it's not time for us to build a house for the Lord. We see that they're living in paneled houses, but they have neglected the house of the Lord. We see in verse 8 that these people are not seeking God. The post-exilic community, the Israelites who have survived Babylonian captivity, are not seeking the Lord. The evidence that they're not seeking the Lord is the fact that they've neglected the house of the Lord. There is no temple. They don't have it in their hearts to honor God by building a house for the glory of his name. And we see here in verse 8 that the temple has a purpose. And the purpose of the temple is to bring glory to the name of God. Verse 8 says, go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Here are people who are not glorifying God. Here are people who are not seeking God. And the evidence of that fact is the fact that they have neglected the house of the Lord. The implication is, if you really were to seek God, you would show that to God by building a house for the glory of his name. And as a result, you would not be struggling to survive in the promised land. Blessings will come to those who seek the Lord with all their heart by building a house to the glory of his name. How important is the temple to God? Take a look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 says, but you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God shall choose from all your tribes, to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. What we see here is that God will choose a place. God has a place in mind. Ultimately, we're going to see as we study the Bible that Jerusalem was the place that God chose. And there was a mount on Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. And God was going to have his people build a temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Moses is saying here in Deuteronomy, God will choose a place. And notice what he says here in verse 5. You shall seek the Lord. God wants to be sought. God wants people who are seeking him with all their heart. But where are the people going to find the Lord? He says, you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God shall choose. Jerusalem, the temple, that's where you're going to seek the Lord. That's where you're going to find the Lord. Now, what is the purpose of the temple? According to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, he says, you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God shall choose from all your tribes to establish his name there. The temple exists for the glory of God. When the Israelites are seeking the Lord at the temple, God is being glorified. The temple exists for the glory of God. It doesn't just exist for the glory of God, but notice what else he says here in verse 5. For his dwelling. Literally, God himself is going to dwell in the temple. The temple is going to be the house of the Lord. Not in a symbolic sense, but the glory of God is literally going to dwell in the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. The house of the Lord. You will come to my house. You will seek me in my house, and you will be blessed. Notice what else he says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 6. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the contributions of your hand, your votive offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. Verse 7. There also you and your households shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you. The people of God will seek him with all their heart, and they will find him in the place that he chooses, in the temple in Jerusalem. You will come to my house, and according to verse 6, you will bring your offerings, you will bring your sacrifices, and you will worship me in my house. The temple was a place of worship. The temple was a place where the Israelites would come and humble themselves before the Lord and give him the sacrifices and the offerings that he deserves. But not only was the temple a place of worship, we see in verse 7, the temple was a place of celebration. The temple was a place of joy. The Israelites will celebrate in the presence of God, the blessings that God gives to those who seek him. David was a man who sought the Lord with all his heart. And David had it in his heart to build a house for the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1, David says, behold, I am dwelling in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under curtains. David, in a sense, considered his ways, as the prophet Haggai says to the post-exilic community. Consider your ways and understand that this is not right. David considered his ways. He says, I live in a palace. I live in a luxurious home, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is living in a tent. And that's not right. God deserves the best. And I'm going to give God the best. And so David set in his heart to build a house for the Lord. David made preparations to build the temple. And David said this in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 5. The house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all lands. The house that David will build for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent. Why must the temple be exceedingly magnificent? It must be exceedingly magnificent because God is exceedingly magnificent. God deserves the best. And David says anything less than the best is unacceptable because God is exceedingly magnificent. Therefore, the temple, the house of the Lord, must be exceedingly magnificent. The temple exists for the glory of God. It exists so that the name of God will be glorified throughout the world. Now, David made preparations to build the temple, but David was not the one who actually built it. Solomon, David's son, is the one who actually builds the temple. And so David gives instructions to Solomon, and David says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build the sanctuary of the Lord God. This is a really powerful verse. What David is saying to Solomon is this: if your heart is such that you are seeking the Lord God, then you will rise up and build a house for the Lord. Seekers of God build a house for the Lord. And that's what David instructs Solomon to do. So Solomon is going to build the temple, and Solomon says this about the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5. The house which I am about to build will be great. For greater is our God than all the gods. The temple must be great. Why must the temple be great? Because there is no God greater than Jehovah God. There is no God greater than our God. We see all these temples built to pagan gods, to false gods, and the house of the Lord must be so much more magnificent than any pagan temple we see, because God is so much greater than any pagan god that exists. God deserves the best. And David and Solomon had it in their hearts to give him the best. Now, the temple that Solomon built was completely ostentatious. It was lavish. It was magnificent. It was extraordinary. It was extravagant. It was luxurious. In fact, I would go so far as to say there has never been a building built that was as lavish, as extraordinary, as the temple which Solomon built for the glory of Jehovah God. We read in Chronicles, we read in Kings about how the temple was built. We see that only the most skilled craftsmen were hired in the construction of the temple. We see that there was gold beyond measure, silver beyond measure, copper beyond measure. There were precious jewels. There were diamonds and rubies and opals and emeralds and all kinds of precious stones brought to be used to decorate the house of the Lord. In fact, when Solomon builds the temple, most of the structure is overlaid in pure gold. The walls of the temple are covered in pure gold. Can you imagine this auditorium if we were to take pure gold and just coat the walls everywhere with pure gold? Why pure gold? Because from a human perspective, gold is just about the most precious element that we have. The Bible tells us that when we get to heaven, the streets are paved with gold. The streets are not paved with gold as a reward to those who make it into heaven. The streets are paved with gold because God deserves the best. And Solomon gives him a house of gold. Literally, the walls are covered in pure gold. And there were so many little intricate designs carved into the columns and the pillars and the walls of the house of the Lord. Pomegranates, which represent the ample blessings of God given to his people when they come into the promised land. We see the whole house of the Lord is ornamented and decorated beyond our ability to even imagine or comprehend with precious stones and jewels, because God deserves the best. And when people saw the temple for the first time, they just stopped dead in their tracks. They couldn't move. They didn't know what to do. Their jaws dropped in amazement, and they stood, and they looked at this marvelous structure in wonder and amazement. Because this was the house of the Lord. They were in the presence of God when they came to the house of the Lord. And God is wonderful. God is amazing. God is awesome. And the feelings that they had when they saw the temple testifies to the nature of God Himself. I remember the first time I saw Carrie. I was at the Highlands Ranch Church of Christ. We were meeting at a hotel at the time, and we had a baptism this particular Sunday. And we went to the hotel pool for the baptism. And I was standing at the edge of the pool, and on the other side of the pool, it was like a light just shone down, boom, on this one figure. This gorgeous creature standing on the other side of the pool, and my jaw just dropped. And I thought, I need to meet her. And in a sense, that's the way people felt when they came to the temple. They were blown away by how impressive, how magnificent, how ostentatious the temple was. In fact, Josephus describes Solomon's temple, and Josephus says this: Solomon made all these things for the honor of God with great variety and magnificence, sparing no cost, but using all possible liberality in adorning the temple. And these things he dedicated to the treasures of God. He made that temple, which was beyond this, a wonderful one indeed, and such as exceeds all description in words. Nay, if I may say so, is hardly believed upon sight. I would go so far as to tell you that the temple which Solomon built to the Lord was the greatest structure in the history of mankind up until that point. It was absolutely astounding. Solomon dedicated the temple, and something amazing happened at the dedication of the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 through 14 record, when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Literally, God came down to dwell in His home. God said, I accept this temple. This temple is worthy of my presence. And God came, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And when the Israelites sought God, they came to Jerusalem. They came to the Temple Mount. They went to the temple, and they found the Lord there. This was the house of God. This was built for the glory of God, that the name of God would be magnified and praised throughout the world. God literally came to dwell in the temple that Solomon built. God deserves the best. Now, what is the application of this? How does this apply to you and me? The temple that Solomon built was absolutely the best. It was made from the strongest pieces of wood. It was made with the most precious metals and stones that people had. Only the most skilled craftsmen were involved in constructing and building and decorating and ornamenting the temple. They gave God the best that they had because God deserves the best. The ostentatiousness, the lavishness, the luxury found in Solomon's temple does not give us license to build extravagant church buildings today. That's not the parallel. You see, this building is not the house of the Lord. God does not live in this building. You are the house of the Lord. God lives in you. We as the people of God, we as the body of Christ, we are the church. God dwells in us. God does not dwell in this structure. He dwells in you. So the temple which Solomon built is a type of you. It's a type of your life. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's read verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Verse 20 says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." We have a promise given to us in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that when we are baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What that means is when a person is immersed into Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. Literally inside of your body. The Holy Spirit is in us. Just as the glory of God came and filled the temple when it was dedicated to the Lord, so a person who dedicates their life to God by being baptized into Christ receives the Holy Spirit, the presence of God dwelling within us. And just as the temple existed for the glory of God, we exist for the glory of God. Notice what it says here in verse 20. "Therefore, glorify God in your body." This is the purpose of our lives, to bring glory to God. God is within us. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the presence of God within us so that we might proclaim the excellencies of God. And God is excellent. God deserves to be praised. God deserves to be honored. So in everything that we do physically, we do for the glory of God. The luxury found in Solomon's temple, all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the precious stones and jewels that were found, all the ornamentation, all the lavishness, all the ostentatiousness of Solomon's temple is found in you. Not in the form of physical wealth, not in the form of gold and jewels. It's not the necklaces you wear around your neck or the earrings you have in your ears. It's your holy life. You are holy to the Lord. In fact, the priests who served in the temple had to wear a sign above their head that said, "Holy to the Lord." Because God is holy. And so we show to the world the glory of God by the way we live our lives. When we live a holy lifestyle, God is glorified. When we live a compassionate lifestyle, God is glorified. When we have love in our hearts and we show our love to our fellow man, God is glorified. When we are forgiving to those around us, God is glorified. When we sacrifice our own selfishness and give ourselves to serve other human beings, God is glorified. That is the silver. That is the gold. That is the precious stones that we offer to God. It's our holy life. God deserves the best. And as his temple, we must give him the best. We're going to offer an invitation this morning. And if there's anyone here who is not a part of the body of Christ, if you have not been baptized into Christ, then you have not received the Holy Spirit and God is not in you. But you can dedicate your life to God If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess that He is Lord of your life, you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you can bring glory to God just as God intends for you to do, just as God deserves. And if there is anyone here this morning who has not been giving their best to the Lord, I encourage you to repent. Because God deserves all the glory you have to give. If you would like to respond to this message, we invite you to come forward at this time while we stand and sing the invitation song.
Live for Jesus, oh my brother.